Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
There's negotiating tactics. You're working 20 different things at a time. These things happen. Sometimes you see something on Twitter.
All three good decisions.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Niners coming off a win in the preseason yesterday to the Chargers, 41-17. Nice game for Dejon Stribling and Kalon Black. Big punt return from
Cowing.
From Cowing, and the 49ers clearly have some young players that are going to be fun to monitor, at least early in the season, to see what they may bring to the table. We're talking about Kyle Shanahan. Here's the, the premise is that sometimes I feel like he gets talked about like he's already won a Super Bowl. That he kind of gets breaks that other coaches who haven't won the Super Bowl haven't gotten. So that's the main thing. Here's the one, I've been intrigued with the way Shanahan has handled the quarterbacks that have come through here in San Francisco. But here's my point about Matt Ryan. And I guess I didn't make it well, because I'm not saying like if Matt Ryan were in San Francisco now, he wouldn't want him. I'm sure he would want him. But here's what I'm saying is, when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator of the Falcons the year that Matt Ryan was the MVP, Matt Ryan was 30 years old. So he'd been in the league a while, had been pretty good, and Kyle got him to the next level.
Right.
Fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
MVP.
How old was Kyle Shanahan at that point? When Kyle Shanahan worked hand with hand with Matt Ryan and took a quarterback who was pretty good and then made him elite.
30-ish?
Kyle was 35 years old, and he was not a head coach. So what I'm getting at is, yes, he gets credit for Matt Ryan, but he did that when he was 35 and a coordinator with probably a quarterback who had accomplished a lot but was chomping at the bit to get to the next level. It worked. And now, you know, Matt Ryan, whatever, the rest is history. Now, fast forward. I don't think Kyle Shanahan is the same kind of coach with the quarterback now that he was with Matt Ryan. I feel like at 35, Kyle Shanahan must have taken a look at Matt Ryan and said, this guy's got some skills. I can help him get over the top. I feel like Kyle Shanahan right now, as a 47-year-old head coach, is more entrenched in what he believes, so that he's more likely to get the quarterback to do the things that he wants inside his box than he might have been willing to do when he was 35.
I'm a little lost, because when you're the OC, it's your offense. So
yeah, but she's 35 years old working with a 30-year-old quarterback. Like, that dynamic to me, like, is noteworthy, because, you know, he's a first-time offensive coordinator and he's got a legitimate quarterback. I don't think Kyle Shanahan at 35 is going to go in guns blazing and say, hey, Matt Ryan, this is the offense, this is the way we're going to do it, and if you don't do it, you know, you're not going to be successful. I got to believe that they had a good working relationship. I'm not saying he doesn't have a good working relationship now. I'm just saying I think he's more rigid now as a guy who works with quarterbacks.
Well, I was going to say this. It's like Midas. Everything he touched turns to gold. And we omitted the RG3 portion of this. As a rookie, Steiny, he was NFL Rookie of the Year, and they went to the playoffs with RG3, a dual-type quarterback. Then we see what he's done with Mac Jones, who, you know, doesn't look like the Mac Jones or the bad version of himself in New England. And then we see the heights that he got Jimmy Garoppolo to, and now Brock Purdy. So regardless the age of Kyle, I just feel like the quarterbacks he comes in touch with, and now Sam Darnold, if you listen to him, will tell you even when he was not the starter, just his time here with Kyle made him a better quarterback.
Yeah. Let's go to Zach. Zach's in Concord. Hey, Zach, how you doing?
Gentlemen, love it. Love this conversation. So I got 2 points now after listening to you. So the first one you guys pretty much made, or you made, Steiny, in terms of listening to you talk about the flowers of Shanahan's getting from the media reminds me of Andy Reid back in Philly, exactly like that. And my point there is, man, I hope he just doesn't have to go somewhere to win some Super Bowls. I hope we keep him and he wins them here. Now, listening to you, Goo, talk about McDonald and Shanahan, McDonald has won it, but how did he win it? He's a defensive-minded head coach. In my opinion, a defensive-minded head coach is only as good as their offensive coordinator. Who was his offensive coordinator? Clint Kubiak. Came from Kyle Shanahan's system. Who was his quarterback? Sam Darnold, whose career was resurrected by Kyle Shanahan. So the fact that McDonald won it, man, you gotta give some credit to Shanahan for that, if I'm being honest. And
well, you could do that with McVay, too. Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you out. You could do that with McVay, too, then, who beat Kyle on the way to getting his Super Bowl.
And I agree with Steiny's point. You're crazy if you're saying you're taking Shanahan over McVay after everything McVay has done. But I'm just saying, when people say McDonald is better than Shanahan just because he's won one, let's let a little bit more time play out. McDonald reminds me a lot of Harbaugh, which makes complete sense. He's a great coach. He finds good coaches. He lets them work. He trusts them to do their job. I think Shanahan does a similar thing, but he brings the element that you're talking about in terms of Nelly with the offense and the creativity. So, man, I don't know. I just the McDonald part doesn't sit well with me. But I don't know that there's a wrong argument.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, and just on the McDonald portion of this, Donnie, if you know and you do know for a fact how highly I think of Kyle and his brilliance at offense, I don't want to hear injuries. The bottom line is McDonald suffocated Kyle's offense twice. One was at home. I mean, the biggest stakes that possibly can be. And then you had the playoff game. Like, that means something to me. And I know it's early in McDonald's career, but he got it done. And not only did he get it done, he got it done going through Kyle. So I got to give that person major love for that. I mean, am I wrong for that in regard to McDonald? Yeah, his specialty is defense, but he suffocated. I haven't seen a defense do that to the Niners, especially in the play. Like, when they lost their Super Bowls, they had leads. This was just, and again, they were injured. But the bottom line is, I'm looking at McDonald like, wow, that's impressive. And he's a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah. I guess the question I have is, what happens to Kyle Shanahan's brilliance when he plays McDonald?
I mean, how many more games? This is why we love football and sports, but this is going to be a continuance on that, right? And now you got Mike Evans. Now you got Stribling. And maybe that's what Kyle was saying. I didn't have the thoroughbreds. We couldn't scare him this way or that way. And now you got, a whole new stable of receivers. Kirk, Debo's back. Stribling, Evans, hopefully the healthy Kittle.
Well, I guarantee you, if the 49ers don't throw the ball well, it'll be because of the receivers. It's not going to be because of Purdy.
But I think if Purdy's not on and he's off, Steiny, we'll come in and say that. Like, there's no way we can't not say that. Like, that touchdown.
Well, everybody says last year the reason McCaffrey didn't run the ball well was because the receivers didn't get any separation and they got to stack the box. And I'm looking at this receiver core, and I'm not convinced it's significantly better than last year. At least when the guys who were healthy played last year. You know, we talked about Shanahan and Nelson, and I do think they have some similarities. Man. And here's one, and it may not have been fair to Nelly, but it's probably, it's not going to be fair to Kyle Shanahan either. You know, for Nelly, they always were saying he just could never get that big man. He couldn't get that big man. And to me, the big man was the equivalent of a quarterback. And over time, Nelson got the reputation and they started saying things like, you know what? I don't think Nelly wants to have the best team.
Man.
I don't think he wants to have the best team. How come? Because he is best and greatest at getting the most out of teams that aren't championship teams.
So that was a preference by Nelly.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't, but that was some of the things that people said about Nelly, that they say that they said Nelly loved to coach as an underdog. Loved to coach as an underdog. But he didn't like to coach as a favorite. Huh? And that's all I'm saying about Shanahan.
Yeah. And I put what I thought Kyle didn't like in the dual threat quarterback to bed when he jumped up there. And for whatever, you know, his intel read, he thought Trey Lance, and it shocked me. He thought Trey Lance was going to be, you know, he's watching Josh Allen that Monday night a couple years ago in Arizona as the Niners played their home game there and watched Josh Allen just do what he did with his legs and arms. And he's watching, you know, prime Russell Wilson two times a season. And I'm just thinking, oh, my gosh. So when he went up and got Trey Lance, that signaled to me, to the Nelson analogy, he saw his big man. And he went and got him, but he wasn't good enough, you know?
Why do you think he drafted Trey Lance?
I think he was tired of just the statues and Jimmy Garoppolo not being able to escape the rush, you know? And he looked at Trey Lance as a Josh Allen-like or a Donovan McNabb-like type of Russell Wilson-type quarterback.
All I can do is take Kyle Shanahan at his word of 10 years of being the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, and he's never, ever, ever, ever wavered that the first thing and the foremost thing he needs out of a quarterback is he must be able to throw out of the pocket. And so he clearly thought that either Trey Lance could throw out of the pocket,
yeah,
or that Trey Lance could learn how to throw out of the pocket.
Facts.
And the bottom line is he never did. Like, he couldn't. So I'm not saying he didn't like Lance's ability to run, but you can't tell me he drafted Trey Lance because he thought he was going to be a running quarterback. Like, that's just not what he said his philosophy has been over the last 10 years.
Like,
so he clearly thought Trey Lance could throw in the pocket. So what happened?
Well, he was wrong.
Why couldn't he?
Yeah, he was wrong.
Okay.
You know, I'll just say this. I think of not Lamar Jackson. That's different. That's run, run, run. But I look at Donovan McNabb, a guy that could throw from the pocket and then run. Josh Allen, a guy that could throw from the pocket, then run if you have to. And Steve McNair, the same thing. Those guys were good throwing from the pocket, Steining. And the beautiful part about them is they had the component to run. And we put it right on the table this morning, brought to you by Echo Pest Control. Quietly, the more I'm watching Brock Purdy, you know, it's not by design. He's got the skedaddle. He can use his legs, but that's not his first. That's not what he does. He doesn't when he needs it. And it has kept them out of harm's way many times.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Let's go out to Oscar in Oakland. What's up, Oscar? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. You know, I think Kyle Shanahan, he's okay, but I mean, he could have had Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl instead of Brock Purdy, and we'd have won. That's what I wanted him to do. I said, yeah, he could have had him the whole time. You should have sat Brock Purdy that year. That was just messed up. So that he could have had his ring. I told everybody in the beginning, you start Sam Darnold, because I saw Sam Darnold throwing balls to Brandon Ayuk all day, and it was easy schmeasy, and he can score in the red zone, and that Purdy can't do that. He can't score in the red zone. He's too short, so he ain't ever going to be a winner with a short quarterback in the red zone. You can run up and down the field and go kick a field goal. That's okay. Defense happy with that. Other team happy with that. But you're going to come on down the field and you ain't going to get seven. That's okay. That's okay. You keep doing that, you ain't going to win no Super Bowl. And Kyle Shanahan the Niners ain't, we ain't going to win nothing since 94. And the Kyle Shanahan and his team acted like fools in the Super Bowl, taking pictures and selfies. Then they lose it. And the 49er fans is an embarrassment. We never going to celebrate. And the only reason there's a lot of 49er fans is because of the movie Something About Mary. Everybody wanted to be like Cameron Diaz, and then all the 49er fans this is the worst team in the world. We ain't never going to win.
Thanks, Oscar. Appreciate it.
Oh, Oscar.
Schmeezy.
Yeah, he was flowing.
Schmeezy.
Something About Mary reference.
Call it like you see it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like you talk about it often. Purdy's ability to escape the rush when need be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I call it the skedaddle, but it's like perfect.
Just
drop back.
Don't do it too much.
Well,
don't take off too soon. Don't stay inbound too long. Don't hold the ball too long. Get through those.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Progressions. I've been thinking, man, I'm high on Kyle, but to our caller a couple callers ago, he got mad. He didn't get mad. He didn't like that I had that I was taking Kyle over the guys, but my rankings were Kyle was third to McVay and McDonald. Like, that's just, I think that's is fair, man.
All right. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Let's welcome
Lolo.
MN Lorenzo Neal. Simply put, one of the greatest fullbacks to ever play in the NFL. Lo, what is going on, my man?
What's happening, Steiny and the Goon? I'm disappointed in both of you guys. Let me first start. Oh. You guys didn't come to the Fullback Classic. Goo, I was waiting for you. I was waiting. Had you ready to go. Had you a golf cart. You know, Burns Glenn even came. Steiny, oh. I thought you would make it out. You and the Gurus thought I was going to have, you know, the finest show in San Francisco, the Goo and the Steiny come represent Fullback Classic. You know, show me. You guys big time me. Okay, now, as I digress, I got that off my chest.
Oh, right. Whoa, the caddy was in the shop, man.
The 49ers have a rookie running back who runs pretty hard, it looks like, Kalen Black. What'd you think of him?
I thought Jalen Black did a great job last night, just being patient and continuing to hit the hole. But you guys got to watch the block by the fullback, that long scamper. He comes out, double teams with the tight end, and kicks the guy over it and turns up to the on a linebacker. See, the devil's in the details. It was led by a fullback. Yeah, but you watch Jalen Black run, though. He's got good feet, good vision. But you're going to need him. Goo, you always talk about McCaffrey, and you and Steiny talk about what kind of back he's a, you know, a every down back. The guy touches the ball sometimes over 200-300 times a year, you know, in the pass game and the run game. And he's getting a little older, but and this is a guy that wants to stay in the game. You have to find a solution, someone that can come in and spare, you know, run them, see, and keep him fresh and keep him upright, because you're going to need him. This is going to be a long year, but you hopefully Black is the answer. He runs hard, got good vision. You need that, because I'm telling you, you guys know the workload that McCaffrey has to carry every year.
Man, Lo, let me ask you this, because I'm going to bring up two names, two former wide receivers, or one still on the team. Pearsall is sad he's missing the year, but he made plays. I didn't know who he was. I was like, man, they got it right. He can't stay healthy. And we know the Ayuk situation, who I became a fan of, was unfamiliar in college, and now we got Stribling. Tell me, because you played the game, Stoddy thought I was coming in saying, put his bus in Canton. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm not doing that, Lo. But 11 catches in two games, 10-inch hands. It just looks like it's effortless, him catching the rock. What are you seeing from him, and how excited should Niner fans be about, hopefully, Purdy's new weapon?
They should be very stars about Scrib, or Strip, as the big lineman likes to call him. I don't know if you guys heard him last night. It was like, you watch Strip, and he's moving people, making things happen. He's amazing. What I love about him, you know, Goo, is watching his radius. You watch him run his routes. Even the first game, he's a little excited, so he came out, he broke the route off maybe a little early, but the ball was on him, and he has those big hands, and he catches everything. If he touches it, he catches it. Yeah, last night, the ball, great ball by Jones.
Yeah.
Ball got on him quick, and he missed that one. Would have been a touchdown, but you very rarely see him drop passes. He's strong, and he's physical. Watch as he gets hit. He gets hit, and if the ball hits his hand and guys hit, usually right there, it's bang, bang. He's still strong enough to bring the ball in. And what I love about him, Goo, what you talked about, not just his hands, but he catches away from his body. You saw Collins last night. The ball comes in on that third down, and he waits for the ball to get in. And them DBs, they come and they swipe down on the ball, so guys drop it. When you watch Strip, when he catches dribbling, he uses his hands, and so it keeps the defenders, and they can't even knock it out of his hands. So right. I love that he's not body catching. I love that he doesn't let the ball get on him. A lot of receivers let the ball get on them, and DBs are able to break it up. This guy, people should be very optimistic and very excited about this young receiver. I know Thurden Jennings is gone, but you got a guy that runs better routes, more athletic, and has stronger hands. Who would have been thought? Who would have thought? Who would have thunk it that would be saying, hey, who's Thurden Jennings? Because this young kid, he's coming, and he's answering the bell.
Lorenzo Neal joining us on 95.7 The Game, one of the greatest fullbacks of all time. Hey, let me ask you this, Lo. You know, we talked a little bit about these young guys. Obviously, it's going to be about some of the bigger names probably that carry the day for the Niners. Kittle, McCaffrey, Trent, Evans, Bosa, Warner. When you look at the landscape of the NFL right now, do you consider this 49er team a bona fide Super Bowl contender?
Oh.
Wow, you're gonna do it. You know what, Steiny? That's why I love you. You don't throw the softballs like Goose. Goose's like, you know, I love what Trent was saying. Trent is the man. He's gotta pay the thing. You just go right for the jugular. And I'm gonna tell you right now, can they win the Super Bowl? Is it possible? Yes. It's possible, but probable? Probably not. And here's the deal. I say that, I wanna say this team is ready. They don't have it defensively. They don't have it in the trenches. They're not there. I think offensively they're going to have to score a lot of points. If McCaffrey goes down, has Black shown you enough? Hey, diddle diddle Kittle down the middle, coming off an Achilles, 32. Is he going to be the Kittle of old? So, you know, is Run DMC, is he going to be the guy that we know he can be? Probably so. But do they have enough? Mike Evans, here's the deal. Let's talk about this guy's a first ballot Hall of Fame. He's an unbelievable receiver. But you guys know and I know this guy is not going to play a full season. You're going to have the young strip, like you saw Stribling, step up. Debo is a three. He's not necessarily a one or two, probably a three. He can be a two on this team. He's not a great route runner. He's a guy that can make things happen. He can run you over, run through you. You see what the Army Swiss Knife, what he can do. But it's the reason why he's no longer there, you know, with the Commanders. And no disrespect, because Debo is a powerful and a very physical and a great guy that can fit a great scheme like the Niners. But I'm not saying that they wouldn't be a contender, but there's two other teams, guys, that you got to show Ole Miss to, and just got to say it. It's the Seattles and the Rams. Absolutely. Seattle and the Rams right now, and it's not that this Niner team's not good. I just don't think that they're great.
No, that, I hear you, Lo. Look, I was meaning to ask you this. I wanted to ask about Bosa, and maybe I can get it in. But I'll ask you about yourself and Black and Stribling. Like, what's awaiting them? What would you say to them as they play these joint practices, these preseason games? But when it's week one on Thursday night, Lo, I mean, talk to us about what was going through your mind, that change and how real it gets, the difference between preseason and the real games.
Well, I'll tell you what. They know that they belong, Goo. Here's the deal. I play in the preseason game. I remember playing against, you know, the Oilers at the time. I run over Mark Robb and freaking my helmet comes off. I run over, I can tell you, Al Smith, he gets mad at me to this day because he was a starting inside linebacker. Al Smith, big head, ran hard. I ran him over. My helmet came off. I ran 15 more yards. And I knew that I belonged. Ray Shielders, I come down on the goal line, I hit him, and he says, oh, my God, he grabs his arm. You watch on the replay, he said, I broke my arm. I didn't score, but I see him down, and this is Ray Shielders that I'm looking up to because I'm coming in the league. So let me tell you right now, when Stribling, when Black, they're running, they know they belong. You got to realize these guys have had success, and they've had it at practice. They've had it in a preseason game. And let me tell you, you watch the way that Shanahan and you watch the way this offense, they're getting these guys involved early. They are going to play a role, and they have it. I am the receiver like you talked about. Why should 49er fans be excited? Because he has it. Let me tell you, Mike Evans has great hands, and Michael Fabian is a Hall of Fame, but this kid has hands. I'm talking about just the catch radius.
Yeah.
I think that he's just as physical and just as better hands than Debo, better hands than probably Mike Evans is probably the only guy that maybe have better hands. This, and now he's got to show me again during the season.
Okay.
But guys, this guy has mitts. He's not afraid. He's not afraid of contact. He blocks. He believes in himself. He's going to show up, guys. He's going to show up.
Well, let me ask you this. We're talking to Lorenzo Neal, one of the greatest fullbacks of all time. You know, when we look at McCaffrey's year last year, he touched the ball a lot, but his yards per carry were only 3.9. So it was a yard and a half off his big season from 2 years ago. All right, so he's getting up there a little bit. I look at the offensive line. It's pretty much the same. And I ask the question, why are the 49ers going to be able to run the ball better this year? If I asked you, like, how are they going to be able to run it better this year when they didn't run it well last year?
Well, I think that's a great question, Steiny, and I think you deserve an answer. I think that your receiving core collectively right now is better, a lot better than last year. You had gimmicks and you had guys that just got Collins and different guys that just made some plays, but you did not have these type of receivers, this receiving core, and even though the return of Debo, you guys can't tell me that it is 3 to 4 times better than last year. Last year, you had guys making plays, playing out of their, playing outside of themselves, and they made plays. This team bend, but they didn't break. You had a defense that was without, Nicky Bosa. We don't know how he's going to be without Frank, without Warner, and didn't have Hines 57. We don't know, but we know that at 57, when he's playing well, Greenlaw's playing well, he's hell. When he's on top, this guy's one of the better linebackers. You have two good, great linebackers on this team if they can stay healthy. So I really believe this team defensively can be a lot better, and offensively, guys, in the passing game, you have more veteran guys, you have more seasoned guys, and you have a young rookie that's hungry. I think that you have a better team collectively. And when you can throw the ball and move the chains, throwing the ball, it is going to open up that run game for McCaffrey. So you're going to see a better McCaffrey. You're going to see a better running game. I guarantee he's going to put up better numbers than he did last year because the team around him, in my opinion, is better.
Lo, I came in this morning, the morning crossover, told Lubman, Steiny, and Spadoni, forget last night, the football game. All I'm fixated on is what you just mentioned, Bosa. Lo, what do you make of what he's doing? Is he going to wait till week one and come out like a crazed dog? Because we saw his, sack total go to 10.5, 9.5. But if he's upright, I mean, it's imperative that, he's a monster again. Do you think he can be?
I hope so. I hope the guy can go back to greatness and go back to what he was of yesterday years. But I can't say that he can after having two major type of surgeries. It's hard to say, hey, this guy is going to get back to 100%. But can he be still good and above average? Of course, it's Nicky Bosa. You guys know that this guy can be he's a threat. He demands a double team. He's still a good player. Just don't know if he's going to be the same as he was. So it's going to be interesting to see how he performs and to see if he can perform on that particular level like he did. But I'll tell you guys what we don't talk about enough, and I'm disappointed, Guru, and you and Steiny once again.
Hey.
Here I go. I'm going to the low gripe. You guys haven't talked about something that's very, very imperative. I always tell you guys what. Offense counts as a third, defense counts as a third, but special teams counts as a third. Guys, last year, come on, how many times were you guys holding your breath, holding onto your butt cheeks, saying, please make this field goal? How many times say, oh, my God, what's this punt going to be? Don't you think that special teams have done a better job of being better in the kicking game? The kicking game cost this team games last year. You guys know that. You think about it. You're going to punt 5 to 10 times a game. You're going to kick off. You're going to kick the ball off 3 to 4 times a game. You're going to receive the punt 4 or 5 times a game. You've got over 20 to 30 plays on special teams. Guys, it's a game within the game. You guys got to acknowledge the special teams, and I think the special teams is a little bit better.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Lo, I beg to differ.
The narrow.
Here's why I beg to differ. I'm looking at this guy, Eddie Pinheiro, last year. You know what he went in field goals last year?
What'd he do?
28 for 29. His only miss was like 56 yards, and he had 5 others more than 50. My point is, there is no way he's going to have as good a kicking season as last year. He was 28 for 29.
Steiny, did you just do that? Did you just jinx this guy? I was waiting for Steiny to give me some great Steiny. That's wrong. Do not be doom and gloom. That's why they went out and got this guy. You know it, Steiny. Last year, special teams, even an extra point, a field goal. You're like, oh, God, here we go. A 30-yarder. Come on, Guru. How many times are you like, oh, God, here goes a kicker. That's why they released him. Look at Debo. A couple years back, Debo almost choked the guy out. The punter, the inconsistency. You guys have to admit at least on paper, and what you've seen thus far in the kicking game and special teams is a lot better than what we had last year, and they were still able to go deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, let me. I don't want to speak for Steiny, but he brought this up. We were just having a conversation. Low, get your take on it. Kyle Shanahan, and I think he's brilliant, but obviously, you know, McDonald won the Super Bowl early, beat him, doing it. McVay the same. But Steiny, I'm paraphrasing, Lowe, kind of said, you know, Kyle gets elevated a bit with the coaches that have already won like he's won. Do you see that?
He says that Cal automatically gets a pass because he's been so competitive and he's been to several Super Bowls that he should be in the same sentence. He should be on the same platform as these coaches that won it.
Kind of like that. Like he's praised like he's won it already and he has it.
Yeah. You know what? I can see that. I think you can see that because if you think about the last 10 years or since under Shanahan, what has he missed the playoffs? Once, twice? And think about how he missed it with all the injuries and the different things. So, and how many times he's been to a Super Bowl? Twice? Think about how many times he's been to the NFC Championship. And then one game he lost Purdy, a starting quarterback. Yeah. Twice? So when you think about what he's been able to do, what the Niners organization has been able to do, yes, it's about winning, lifting up Lombardis. We get, but you guys can't sit here and say that. Think about the last several years, Seattle, the Rams, they're in the Super Bowl, they're right there, they're always tough teams. Yeah, this has been one of the tough divisions in football, so I can see that. I think you have to take in consideration and say, gosh, at Cal Shanahan, if you fire him, who can you get that's better?
Wow. You know, it's kind of like, you know what, here, it's got something to do with his dad. Low, it's got something to do with his dad. It's got something to do with, I feel like he's a media darling. I feel like there's something about him that's got golden boy characteristics. Mm. That's all.
I understand, but you're going to kick the guy when he's just concussion. He's been concussed. He's been beat up. He's got the Dirk Diggler mustache going right now. They asked him when he's shaving off. He said the mustache saved him. I mean, Steiny, why go for blood? It's early right now. Let's ease into it, Steiny. Let's ease into it.
I think now's as good a time as any, especially if he does have a concussion.
Yeah, Lo, I don't like the stash.
I'm messing, Lo. Hey, Lo, can't wait to see you when you get up here, buddy.
Hey, Lo, I like the new cut. I see you cut. You got the hair going, baby.
Hey, you know, Goo, I can't let you be the only one pretty in the face and slimming the waist.
My man, Low
Neal,
baby.
All right, thanks,
Low. You guys take care. We'll do it again soon, guys.
All right. Low Neal.
That should be a weekly.
If you say so.
Yeah. But now you let it all out with the Kyle, the golden boy, his dad. Now the stew's cooking and bubbling.
He's got some golden boy in him.
Oh, man. He's good, golden man. You know, he's a good man. Coach, Steiny. You know,
look,
it.
Man. Look, you get to be an 8-year-old kid, and you get to tag along with Dad Evans, to Mile High Stadium.
I don't want to interrupt, Steiny. Evan said breaking news in the NBA. Can we go to it?
95.7 The Game.
Better be breaking
news. What is it?
Was something that was expected. Sham Sharani of ESPN reporting that Klay Thompson has been bought out by the Dallas Mavericks, and he is signing with the Miami Heat.
Good for him. Good for they need Fine. Shoot. Good for him. I mean, he'll be playing meaningful basketball. One,
well, we'll see.
Miami, you down on your?
Can he get on the court? On a Pat Riley and Steiny, Eric Spoelstra.
I'm happy for Klay.
You have to play defense on that team.
Evan, I watched. This might sound weird. I looked at your lips like, is he going to say Golden State? But he said Miami. Good for Klay, man.
Yeah, this was something that I think a lot of people around the league were talking about. It was either there or Los Angeles. So Klay's going to Miami.
Catching passes from Giannis, drive to the rank, kick out to Klay. Klay for three!
Boy.
I'm just telling you, Klay stinks. That's AI.
Well, of course, of course you say it is. Of course you do.
But go ahead, share the little your stories, Donnie. It was great.
About what?
Kyle, and when you're 8 years old,
yeah, you know, some 8-year-olds have to wait for their dad to get home from the coal mines. Other 8-year-olds get to follow Daddy to Mile High Stadium. They get to run around the field and throw footballs with pro players. They get to sit around while Dad has meetings with football minds. They get to absorb it all. They get to live that life. they get to go to college.
Yeah.
And, yeah. It's called being a golden boy.
How many people
do you
know?
And he's taking advantage of it. He's taking advantage of it.
That's what we want in life.
How many people do you know that grew up with fathers who worked in the coal mine?
Hey, my man said coal mine.
Hey, Evan, do some research on Robert.
Just a question.
Do some research on my father, Robert W. Steinmetz, from Palmerton, Pennsylvania, in what's known as the coal regions in Pennsylvania. Berwick, Tamaqua.
You didn't answer the question.
Well, my dad was a teacher, but he had to wait for his dad. Let's put it down.
Snidey, that's what we strive to leave legacies for our kids.
So again,
Cannon Curry, again, line one, going to practice with his dad.
Again,
the games.
Mike Shanahan gets to usher in his kid into the NFL, even though, you know, but when LeBron James tries to usher his kid into the NBA, it's something totally different.
Well,
period.
You know what the difference is.
The difference is, you have a double standard.
No.
Done.
Bronny wasn't good enough.
Neither was Kyle.
Well, obviously he is.
Well, how did we know that?
Well, he proved himself as a coordinator.
Okay. How many years?
Well, I got... Hey, man. What makes you happy? Like, you can't frown on people for taking care of their own.
Okay. Well, why did you fry on a bomb? When LeBron did it for taking care of his own. This is what I mean. I'm just asking for some consistency.
Because it was apparent to any fair person that loved the game of basketball that Bronny wasn't ready.
Okay.
But
somebody determined Shanahan is ready to be an assistant coach 1 year out of college because his dad happened to be a coach. Same thing. Yeah. All right. Let's see.
I didn't get an invite to that golf tournament.
Either.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Low.
Kiss my ass, Low.
Yeah. I did.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. Me and Low were tight. He asked about you guys, but I said you're probably busy.
Low, you gotta love Low.
All right. Hey, something big is coming on September 2nd. DraftKings game day arrives with massive deals, exclusive deals, and an all-day celebration built for sports fans. The countdown has begun and all roads lead to game day. The DraftKings sports app is now live in all 50 states. That means California from Texas to Florida. Every fan is in on the excitement. One app, every sport, all 50 states. DraftKings game day is yours. So remember the date, September 2nd. DraftKings game day is the kickoff of a new season, a new era, and the biggest day in sports history. So get pumped and get ready to celebrate. New DraftKings customers, sign up with the code 957THEGAME, spend $5 to get 150 in rewards within 14 days. That's code 957THEGAME in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours. Event trading offered by DraftKings Predictions, a CFTC-registered introducing broker. Trading involves risk of loss. Market availability varies. Eligibility restrictions apply. $50 every 7 days via click to claim issued in non-withdrawable predictions dollars that expire in a year. Ends August 23rd. Terms, dkng.co/predictions promo. Nationwide, based on sportsbook, predictions, and free-to-play sports contest availability, varies by state.
Yeah.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.